text for tonight is Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Luke 23, 39 through 43. In this text, we are witnesses to the crucifixion in a profound way. We're going to hear Jesus' interaction with two criminals who were crucified beside him. Again, Luke chapter 23, 39 through 43. Read this with me and then we will pray. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Father God, we desire that you would reign and rule in our hearts and in our lives forever. That you would look upon us and know us, and even seeing us in our weakness and in our sin, you would desire to continue to be patient and suffer with us, Father, by your Spirit and through the power of your Savior, your Son, Jesus. We need your help, even tonight, to hear what you have to say about the cross of Christ, about being remembered, about being known, being seen, being loved. So we pray for your Spirit's help. Father, forgive us. We have neglected to love as we ought to love. We have sinned against you in a number of ways, some we're not even aware of. And yet we know through faith in Christ there is forgiveness. Assure us of your forgiveness, Father, by your Spirit. I pray now, Father, that you would work powerfully through your word to encourage your people, to show your people what it cost for our salvation, what our sins cost on that cross. But to show us too how deep your love is for us. That sacrifice of Christ's own life was on our behalf. Open our hearts, our minds, our eyes to see the truth that you have for us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How will you be remembered when you die? Probably not a question you want to be asked right about now. Perhaps if you're young, you've not really thought about it. But how will you be remembered? What's the next step? Does your family gather at the funeral home and pick out a gravestone, a casket? Maybe select sort of the order of things? Or maybe you've thought about it a little bit and that seems too sad for you. So you try to avoid the sadness and you think about having a celebration of life. Nothing says celebration like death. Thinking about being remembered confronts us with the certainty of death. It can't be shoved aside. You can't sort of just put it out of mind. And there's a reality that you will be remembered, at least for a little while. Soon, though, your funeral will be over. All the cards will be opened. Thank you sent. Casseroles will be consumed. And tears will flow, maybe for days or months or years, but through time, you will be remembered no more. Scripture reminds us that we wither away like grass. We're told to remember our days, They are fleeting quickly. Now, we all want to be remembered. We take photographs of each other to hold on to moments. We save things like baby teeth. We pass along wedding rings and wedding dresses. We bring out old stories at family get-togethers. We organize class reunions. We think about the good old days. We throw on the oldies but goodies that young kids just don't understand. We want to be remembered, but we're also forgotten. I don't know how many kids I've seen who are zipping around the sanctuary after a service, and pretty soon I see a van drive away, and the child is either very alarmed that he has been or she has been forgotten, or they're very excited that they get more playtime. This being forgotten is deeper than that, though. We experience the opposite of remembrance throughout much of our lives. Your friends fail you. I forgot it was your birthday. I'm so sorry. Your husband frantically rummages through the house to find the gift that you gave him 2 years ago for your anniversary. He gives it back to you. We get left out of conversations. We get left out of plans. We get left out of texts and friend groups. There's greater forgetting still. Maybe a parent walked away, or a friend or a spouse. You were forgotten. Do you know what forgotten says? Forgotten says something to us, and often we're very confused, or we're angry, or we're sad, and it whispers it. It doesn't really yell it at us. It just says, you're alone. You're all alone. But you don't want to be alone. In fact, the Bible says that we're not made to be alone. In light of that, and in the face of the persistent tick and talk of our lives, how can you be remembered in such a way as to not fade away? How can you be remembered in an eternal way? Our text hovers on this question. We have three men dying. Jesus is in the middle, and two criminals hang on crosses next to him. How will they be remembered? Look with me again at your text. One criminal, it says in verse 39, railed at him. This is an insincere, spitting plea. In the midst of his suffering, he says, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Now, this sounds nearly righteous. It sounds nearly right, but there is venom in his voice. It's taunting. It's insulting. You can't save us, can you? You can't save us. It's a cry from a heart that will not accept and will not see the sin so clearly displayed in front of everybody else's eyes. He's being publicly killed for his sin, but his heart won't accept it. Have you ever been caught red-handed? Your sin so publicly displayed? Maybe you lied to your spouse, you lied to your kids, or kids, you lied to your parents. And now the jig is up. Now comes the punishment. You're on the couch for a week, or kids are in timeout for half hour or 15 minutes, whatever it is. Maybe you get a reprimand at work because you've been lying about how long your lunch break is. I don't know. And as your face blushes red, your collar gets hot, you kind of collapse inside because you know, you see, you understand your guilt, but you wouldn't dare admit it, at least not yet. See yourself hanging on the cross as this first criminal. This is what doubling down looks like. Everything is screaming guilty, but he's just shaking his head. Nope, I didn't do it. He's so thoroughly guilty, yet so thoroughly prideful, he's unwilling to admit his fault. He'd rather scorn and mock his Savior than ask for help. There is an eternal remembrance for each of us, including this man. Humanity might erase him, and probably some people in his day that kind of forgot, you know, pretty quickly who this guy was, but God did not forget him. God will not forget his rebellion or hatred. We have his words forever. And his truest punishment did not begin with the crucifixion. His punishment truly began at his death, and his punishment has not stopped. If you are troubled now because you've been hiding, you've been unwilling to confess, unwilling to admit your guilt, then Good Friday is for you. Good Friday is for you. One day, all your sin will be out in the open, whether you like it or not. Romans 2:6 says that God will render to each of us according to our deeds. We each will be exposed, vulnerable, nowhere to hide, like the criminal on the cross. But if Jesus stands for you, you have nothing to fear. Good Friday is for you. It is a call to see your sin and your Savior. Jesus loves you while you're a sinner. Jesus loves you while you are a sinner. Confess your sin. Know his forgiveness. Your fears will dissolve. He will bring you greater joy and peace and rest than you've ever known. God gives us a roadmap to being remembered, being seen and heard and cared for in our verses tonight. Look with me at verse 40. The other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?" The second criminal speaks to his guilty companion. He's saying, "Who are you to mock God, to spit and rage when you're so obviously guilty?" Not only that, but do you realize that you're on the threshold of eternity? Your next breath could be heaven or hell. He goes on in verse 41, "We indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds." This second criminal is not only aware of his crimes, he's actually willing to own up to them. He recognizes that there is a God who will punish the guilty. And he sees himself as one of those who deserves the cross that he is on. Is that how you think about your sin? Consider with me tonight that a cross would be a merciful end had our sins only been against a fellow human being. In truth, we have sinned against a holy and righteous God. We deserve so much more than a cross. Not just death, but the unending wrath of God. Where is hope then? Where is hope if we are lost in our sins, if we are dead in our trespasses, if we are bound for eternal punishment? Where is our hope? It's with the third man hanging on his cross. The second criminal goes on, having rightly seen his own sin and the God who holds each accountable. He recognizes how lost he is. He recognizes how dire the situation is. He sees his guilt. He's so frail. He's so weak. There's so much pain. To those who are standing and watching, I'm sure it looked so dark. His heart, though, his heart is coming to life with faith. There is a light breaking through, even on the cross. He sees Jesus. In verse 41, he says, "This man has done nothing wrong." He's recognizing what Scripture testifies to. This is the Lamb of God. This is the suffering servant who hangs beside him. The criminal This criminal, the second criminal, he sees Jesus on his cross. Not just with human eyes, but with a waking heart of faith. You see, what the second criminal saw is that Christ's death was for him. What he deserved, what you and I deserve, was upon Christ's shoulders. As the crown of thorns wrenched through Jesus' forehead, as his blood dripped down his cheeks and his nose and his lips, as he was nailed through, pressing up through all that pain to catch a breath, Jesus was taking on your sins. It was not an intellectual exercise for Jesus to endure thinking about your sins. He was taking on your sins. He was enduring the wrath that your sins deserve. You're cutting words to your spouse. Your late night porn. You're binging the bottle, the screen. You're lying. Your neglect to love. Your murderous thoughts. Your jealousy. Your envy. He wasn't just thinking about those things. He was dying for them. He was dying for you. This man, Jesus, so perfectly righteous, never knowing guilt, never red-faced with embarrassment over sin, because it never happened. God, on our behalf, makes the righteous one, Jesus, he makes him the unrighteous. Jesus became sin for you. It's your sins, it's my sins that put him there. And what a glorious thought that as the nails are pounded through his hands, we are being remembered. Literally engraving the punishment for our sins on his body. Scars that are still there right now. By his stripes we are healed. His chastisement has brought us peace. In that greatest exchange in human history, the unrighteous, you, me, we are remembered. We are seen and known as righteous through faith in Jesus. If you want to know how to be remembered, confess your sins. See the Savior who dies for you and cry out like that second criminal. Verse 42, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Don't forget me. Please, Jesus, please. This second criminal sees that Jesus is innocent and he sees him as king. He desires to be saved, to give up his sin, his selfish rule. His cry is your cry. This is our cry to be remembered, to never be forgotten, to not be alone. It's only possible because Jesus was forgotten for us. Matthew 27, 46, Jesus cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's forgotten. He's utterly alone. He is abandoned. He is deserted. He is cut off. You are remembered. You are remembered. And what a remembrance it is. Jesus won't just think happy thoughts about you. He's not just looking through an old photo book. As he dies, God looks upon Jesus' sacrifice and he says to you, to all those who deserve the wrath of God, it is finished. I will remember your sins and your iniquities no more. You are freed from captivity, from condemnation, from judgment. You are granted eternal life, and you are given permanent community. You have his Holy Spirit. There's no more alone to speak of, even when you feel like you are absolutely alone. His life is yours through faith. It is a gift. There is peace with God through faith in Jesus. Two criminals hang next to Jesus. But only one is set free. Only one is truly remembered, known, loved, saved. Jesus says to that believing criminal, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now we don't know, but I'm going to guess that this man's end is not far off. Maybe he's been hanging there for hours, even a day. Jesus, seeing this man's earnest cry for help, his acknowledgement of his guilt, his desire to be saved, he says that today he'll be with him. He'll be with Jesus in paradise. I asked you all earlier how you want to be remembered. Pause for a moment. Don't think about your grave. Don't think about the songs that you want sung. Think instead about how this second criminal was remembered. Not for his sins, but for his Savior. Not for his sins, but for his Savior. Because there are some here who think that they're too far gone. There's no hope for them. They've made their bed. They've crossed that line one too many times. If people only knew what they've said, what they've done, what they think. If God in Christ Jesus can ransom a despised, ashamed, guilty, condemned criminal who hangs publicly on a cross, then Good Friday is for you. God is not stingy with his mercy. He is offering up freedom and forgiveness tonight. This criminal is remembered in such a way that he'll never be forgotten. He'll never be abandoned. Indeed, his existence is the opposite of forsaken. He is known. He is cherished. He is precious. He's brought into, within a few short hours, endless glory and praise of the God who saved him. If you have, even now, put your faith in Christ Jesus, you will be remembered. You are remembered now. You are known. You are loved now. You are held on to. But if you have not done that, I want you to consider how you want to be remembered. Are you with Christ in paradise through faith, or are you standing alone in your sin and your guilt? Don't be fooled. I understand that you're not hanging on a cross right now. You're thinking you've got many hours ahead of us, but all of us are very, very close to death. Scripture teaches that we have a life of 70 or 80 years, maybe, by way of strength. These human lives are a drop in the ocean of eternity. And that's an eternity either of heaven or of hell. There's no more time to wait. There's no more time to delay. Your death will come, and with it, you will be present before God. Will God, through faith in Christ, know you? Will he remember you as his own child who trusted in Jesus for forgiveness? Or will he say, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? I urge you, believe on Jesus today and know that paradise awaits. Let's pray. Father God, what a marvelous truth it is that we are known completely through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see the depth of our sin, the depth of our need, the depth of our loneliness more than we'll ever see it. And you love us beyond all of our sin. You don't just forget about it. You did something about our sin. You gave up your own son to die for us, that we might be remembered, that we might not be lost, that we might not be abandoned, that we might not be forgotten. You gave up your son that we would know your love. Grant us faith. If we already have faith, grant us increased faith. Help us to know that Jesus is for us and that Good Friday is for us. And if there is someone who is weighed down by their sin and their guilt tonight, would you show them through faith in Jesus, they are free. They are forgiven. God, we desire more people to believe upon Jesus, that you would have the glory, and that we would see and celebrate the hope of resurrection life on Sunday. Father, thank you for this reminder of what it took to pay for our sins, the goodness and mercy of our God to act on our behalf. People who could not and would not save themselves, you came, you redeemed, you bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Would we praise you now for your mercy? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As our service draws